Looking for a new sports show?
So my wife and I go to the movies because you have to go opening weekend.
Yeah, I was with my boy, so he got us right up to the front of the line of this new club.
So I'm stuck watching my sister's dog again. He's throwing up all night.
2.5 games back in the standings, I feel like the Mets are one big bat away from competing. Imagine that. A sports show that's about sports. The Joe Fan Show. Are you fan enough?
Welcome to the Joe Fan Show with your host, Clayton Hamilton.
Greetings, sports fans. My name is Clayton Hamilton, and you're listening to the Joe Fan Show, coming to you live from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, the greatest city in the world, right here on the home of Vegas sports, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Let's check the headlines. In women's ice hockey quarterfinal action from Pyeongchang, the Olympic athletes from Russia defeated Switzerland 6-2 to advance to the semifinals, where they will face Canada. In Finland, down Sweden 7-2, they will face the United States on Monday. World number 2 Simona Halep has withdrawn from the semifinal of the Qatar Open today with a foot injury. She was scheduled to play Garbine Muguruza, who will advance all the way to the final, where she will play the winner of Karolina Wozniacki and Petra Kvitova. Simona has also withdrawn from next week's Dubai Open. She said in a statement that she hopes to be healthy for the tournament at Indian Wells beginning on March 5th. And the Minnesota Twins have signed right-hander Anibal Sanchez to a one-year, $2.5 million deal. He went 3-7 with a 6.41 ERA, a 159 whip, and a 313 batting average against last season for the Tigers. Today we have Matt Reed, Stefan Filial, and from Heroes in the Rough, Rob Jackson and Ken Magden. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Are you fan enough?
So let's get loud and let's get proud. We got a game to play. Game on. Let's play ball. There won't be a better time to give it our all. Stand tall. Let's get it on. I know you hear that crowd. They're about to get loud. It's game on.
The Joe Fan Show is brought to you by the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center, with locations in both Henderson and on the west side. Dr. John Petrick and his dedicated staff are committed to helping you lead a pain-free life. Visit them at lvprc.com and take the first step toward a feeling great. Clayton Hamilton here in Las Vegas, always feeling great out in Oakland, California. My good buddy, Matt Reed. Welcome, Matt.
Hey, Clayton. Good to be here. You're right. I am feeling great. And I told you last week that I was down at Santa Anita watching a horse I own a small part of run, and he won the San Vicente Stakes. So we're on the Derby trail, baby. Looks like next stop, New York, Aqueduct, March 10th in the Gotham.
Nice. I want to see you. I want to see you at the Kentucky Derby hanging out with Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir on Millionaire's Row.
Yes. You know what? That's a dream of mine to be critiqued by those two.
That'll be great. You know, I thought maybe you were feeling good because you were related to Anibal Sanchez. He gets $2.5 million for a 6.41 ERA and a 3.13 batting average against.
That was the next thing I was going to say. I couldn't believe. I mean, that earns you $2.5 million in this world. Isn't that crazy?
And the best part is if he does better than that, he can get another $2.5 million. He could get up to $5 million from the Minnesota Twins. It's crazy,
to be
right?
A baseball player.
Hey, Matt, you know what this week was?
What was this week?
This week was Shrove Tuesday and Ash Wednesday.
That's true.
And you know what that means? That means our friends at Royal Ashburn played their Shrovetide football game. You didn't think I was going to let you out of here letting you know what happened over there.
Oh, what happened?
Tom Bolton Lear had the only goal at Clifton for the Downards on Tuesday. Everything was looking good. But Wednesday would turn out to be a tough day as the Upwards would equalize. Barry Swan with the late goal on Wednesday at Sturston, about 7:44 in the dark, scored the equalizer. They ended up in a tie, and you got to feel bad. You got to feel bad for the Downards because they are now 0-3-5 since 2010.
It sounds like such an awesome thing, but they can't end these in ties.
Yeah, you got to go all the way into Thursday.
Yeah, you have to go until someone breaks the tie. Exactly.
Golden goal in Shrovetide football. I like
it. Absolutely.
I like it. And I'm also sure we're the only show in America that's given Shrovetide football results this year.
Without a doubt.
You know who would be good at Shrovetide football? Would be Rob Jackson, president of Heroes in the Rough. He has been kind enough to get up or stay up. I don't know which one he has done to join us, along with Ken Magden from Heroes in the Rough as well. They are in studio with us today. How you doing, fellas?
Good. How you doing?
We're doing good.
I'm still waking up. You know, but I'm gonna. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good, Rob. Hey, I want to congratulate you. I saw that you're gonna be veteran of the month of March for the state of Nevada. I mean, that's quite an honor and well deserved.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm excited, but I'm actually overwhelmed because you know it is an amazing award that I'm gonna get. And next month, I'll know at the end of the month, you know, what day I'll be receiving it in March with the governor.
Well, that'll be good.
Yeah.
You like to hobnob with the dignitaries, so that's good. We're also going to have Stefan Filial later, who does nothing but hobnob, and he's back from L.A., and then he's going to go off to L.A. You know, Matt, because the Oscars are coming up, so you know,
Stefan will be the Oscars
party to party, hanging out with Rihanna like he often does. It's good to be Stefan. It's good to be Stefan. So, guys, I don't. I know you guys are big NFL football fans. I don't know if you know much about Shrovetide football. They play it once a year in Royal Ashburn over in England. There are basically two rules. You can't put the ball. It's like a big soccer game, but you can use your hands. You can't put the ball into a car or a sack and hide it. And no manslaughter and no murder. It's strictly forbidden. Other than that, everything else is a go.
Do we get tickets somewhere?
Yeah. The best part is you can play. Everybody can just show up in the town, and you just pick a side. You're an upper or a downer, depending on which side of town you live on, uptown or downtown, and you play the game.
So it's just like running with the Bulls then, you know?
It's exactly like running with the Bulls. It's fantastic. There's a documentary called Wild in the Streets about it, and I said those are the only rules. You also can't take the ball into the church cemetery. But other than that, it's good. There's one goal at each end of the town.
So you can't bounce it off tombstones?
No bouncing off tombstones. No crazy rules like the NFL. And we're going to get into the NFL today because I know, Rob, you are a big Seattle Seahawk guy. And they have a lot of decisions to make this year comes to the offseason, which we're right in the middle of, starting with whether or not their general manager, John Schneider, is going to be back, and if he is and is going to be the guy making the decisions, he's got to decide about the Legion of Boom because they're all getting old and their contracts are all coming up. What are they going to do?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, there is a lot of work the Seahawks have to do, and it has to start from the admin side of it to decide who they're going to retain and whether they're going to do to go forward. With Richard Sherman being hurt for the last part of the year, is he healthy enough to come back and do the caliber he's supposed to be doing? Michael Bennett's up in the air. And then I know that Cam's going to come back, that he wants to play. And then Earl Thomas' question. So really, they need to really find out what these guys are going to do. Are they good enough? Or are they going to be able to get somebody in the draft to replace them?
When you look at this team, Matt, and they do have a lot of health issues and questions, and I guess the question would be if they were all healthy, still what do you do? Because there's a lot of salary cap implications, and then when you pile on how dinged up they are, is it time to maybe just cut bait and have an overall rehaul of the roster, or do you think you can patchwork this together to have another year in their window?
I mean, as a fan, you never want to hear the term, you know, rehaul or a total rebuild. But, yeah, I mean, we're looking at a team where a bunch of guys that, you know, that they drafted well, these guys started young and they've kind of went through the whole process and turned out to be, you know, one of the best defenses in the last, you know, 10, 20 years that we've seen. So it's tough to say, you know, let's totally rebuild this because the pieces are still there. But, yeah, that they're a little older, you know, it's tough in the NFL. I think year to year you definitely see guys slow down, especially on the defensive side of the ball, at cornerback position. Remember, you know, Revis Island turned into, you know, Revis, you know, playing for a contract. And I think, you know, Richard Sherman is – still good, but we're going to see a decline year after year. So, yeah, I think they do need to blow it up a little bit. you know, if Earl Thomas can stay, Chancellor, I don't know how much he has left. They still have Bobby Wagner in the middle. So the defense has a couple pieces, but you don't want to totally rebuild because you have Russell Wilson on the other side, and let's not waste his glory years.
When you look at a guy, I think Richard Sherman's maybe the place to start, Rob, because he's going to turn 30. He had the Achilles issue. You always have all of the off-field stuff with Richard Sherman. Is he going to be worth enough to keep around, or would you rather save that $11 million in cap space by cutting him?
That's a good question, because I think it all comes down to see how healthy he is. If he looks good, then that's a decision they got to make. But if they see that he may not be there, then that cut's going to happen a lot faster. But it's a good question. I mean, number one, those safeties back there, Cam and Thomas, have to be healthy enough to help these corners out. He's not going to be able to do it on his own. He's just not at that caliber right now, because it's going to take a while for him to come back. But $11 million is a lot, so they have to make a decision. But it all comes down, like you're saying, the admin, what Schneider, everything. It's kind of a mess over there right now.
Do you package them together, guys? Maybe thinking about them as a group, Matt, and if let's say Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas aren't going to be good enough, then it doesn't matter whether or not Richard Sherman comes back healthy. You just get rid of all three of them and start over again, or – do you need two of the three of them, or do you take each one of them individually?
Well, I mean, I think you need the safeties, especially Thomas. I think Thomas still has enough left in him. Chancellor's, you know, a little bit older, so, you know, and coming off that injury where whenever you have to question whether you're going to be healthy enough to play football, you know, you really have to take that into consideration of, you know, how much further do I want to go, and what's it going to take? One more hit is going to kind of be the end. So they got to keep Thomas. The other two, you know, aren't as key in my book. But if you can't keep, if that healthy Cam Chancellor comes back, you want Chancellor and Earl Thomas.
And then you also have to think about, are you going to re-sign Sheldon Richardson? Is he a guy that is going to be a part of the future? Because you've got guys like Cliff Averill, who's, you know, hurt and in and out, and Bennett. Like, what do you do with the defensive line, Rob?
I've been looking at it, and it's, you know, it comes down to being healthy. I mean, what are these guys worth? Are they worth to pay the money, you know, to be that best line? But they weren't as powerful last year. But it all comes back as a team. But I think a lot of the problem is the offense, because if the offense is not shining, it seems like those guys don't want to step up.
Well, you mentioned, Matt, about not wasting Russell Wilson. He doesn't have a running game. The Eddie Lacy experiment, I think we can say, was a bust. You need somebody to run the football. You have to make a decision on Jimmy Graham for somebody to throw the football to. They don't necessarily have an explosive receiving core. So does it even matter how good your defense is?
It matters, because, look at the NFC West, where I think we're starting to see a little changing in the guard, where the Rams, you know, obviously had a great year last year, and McVay came in, and a lot of, you know, a lot of different packages. I mean, he showed a lot. I mean, look what they did to Seattle in Seattle. You never saw that in the last 5 years, nothing close to that. So, and then with San Francisco, you got Garoppolo now, you got Shanahan, I think we're going to see some good offenses in the NFC West. So Seattle's going to have to keep, you know, hold them down a little bit to allow Russell Wilson to make enough plays to keep them in games. But, you know, I think Jimmy Graham, that whole experiment, didn't work out as much as they hoped it did. I think, you know, down the stretch last year, Graham was actually playing pretty well, but I think he's gone. I think a team like Oakland is going to take a serious look at him. I know Gruden would like to add a piece like that. So, yeah, they're just going to have to draft well and start, you know, building up again through the draft, and hope that they can hit a couple home runs with these guys.
I think you bring up a good point, Matt, about the changing of the West and how the Rams have elevated and are now a contender. You would expect, Rob, that San Francisco, given what they did when they got Jimmy Garoppolo, that they're now moving into the second best team in the West, which knocks Seattle down to third. Arizona's probably going to be terrible. But if you finish third in the West, there's almost no chance you're going to make the playoffs.
No, I agree 100% because, number one, the way things are looking right now for Seattle, they'll be lucky to be 500 next year. I mean, it mm-hmm. all comes down to they got to get that running game fixed. If they don't get that running game fixed, let's say they retain Jimmy Graham and they got a powerful running back and you got Russell Wilson and you got Baldwin. That offense can, as long as they use Jimmy Graham and they don't use them, not like how Drew Brees did, mm-hmm. they're going to be very, very powerful. But that's the only way they're going to contend in the West, because right now they're taking a step back and they're not going to get back up there until, like what Matt was saying, they have to do a good job in the draft. If not, you know, because when you come back to it, look at Russell Wilson. He was taken way below. And look at him. Unbelievable. So they have to take a shot and get somebody like a Russell Wilson, you know, late in the rounds.
See, I'll tell you that they need to build up the offensive line. Has been a question the last 2, 3, 4 years. It's gotten progressively worse. They really need to focus on building that line back up, because, like, you know, Wilson was running for his life half the time, and there was one, maybe two other quarterbacks in this league that can keep plays alive, you know, just as well as Russell Wilson. And I mean, he kept so many plays alive with his feet and dodging defenders, but after a while, it's going to take its toll. So they have to build up the offensive line. We talked about running back. I thought Chris Carson, before he broke his leg, I thought Chris Carson was looking really good and, you know, was taking the reins of that backfield and actually gave them some sort of running game. So if he can come back from this broken leg and you know, take a step forward again next year, I think they might actually have a guy that they can rely on a little bit.
No, I agree with you 100% on that, but it still comes down to being healthy. You know, Rawls wasn't doing it. They got to really look at it. Do they go into the season with a three-headed monster type thing in the backfield? I don't know, but you're right. That offensive line has to get better to take a lot of pressure off Russell. Russell could do anything. We already know that, but he can't do that all day.
When it comes to Russell Wilson, and you look at what's developed recently, Matt, in terms of quarterback salaries, Jimmy Garoppolo now the highest paid player in the NFL. You saw the deal that Derek Carr got. They have to think about when it's time to re-sign Russell Wilson, and they don't have to do it this year. They will have to do it next year. But when you see how the escalating salary is gone, do you maybe consider trying to renegotiate his deal now so that it can be cheaper than if you have to do it next summer?
Mm-hmm. It's definitely something to look at, because, you know, we saw what Garoppolo just got, and Kirk Cousins is waiting in the wings, and we know Kirk Cousins is about to get paid too. So, if you can afford the cap space this year, or find a way to stretch it out, his deal to maybe free up even a little cap space this year, then it's worth exploring, because he's going to be good for another, you know, 4 or 5 years. So it doesn't hurt you to re-sign him. And then, you know, we've seen in the NFL what teams with no quarterback, you know, where they usually end up. So, it's something they should look at.
When you think about the teams in the West, that perhaps Kirk Cousins is one of the names that people are talking about in Arizona, Rob. And then if Kirk Cousins goes to Arizona, does that make them the third best team in the West?
No, I disagree. I don't think so. I think it still comes down. Here's my opinion, is that quarterback can't be any better than what he has on that offense completely. You know, if we go back in the day, Dan Marino, John Elway, they made players. But Russell Wilson does make, but he's not like those guys. And then Kirk Cousins, same thing. He's not like one of those guys. So they have to have a full offense of good receivers, good tight ends, good running back for Kirk to be able to be well. Because if not, he's just going to look like a mediocre quarterback back there.
Yeah, I look at this West, Matt, as this is maybe the best time for the Seattle Seahawks to just could totally revamp it. Because I think best case scenario, they could go 8-8, which 8-8 is, I mean, if you're going to go 8-8, you might as well go 4-12.
Yeah, exactly, and get the better draft pick. You're right. I mean, if there's a time where it looks like things have changed, where they're not going to be, you know, 1 or 2, I wouldn't totally knock them out of 2. I mean, San Francisco finished the year strong, and Garoppolo looked great, and if he is the same way next year, then, yeah, they'll be the number two. But if not, Seattle still has a chance for that second spot in the West. I think the Rams should be the best team again. But, again, you know, maybe they take a step back in year two with McVay. So, but yeah, on paper, it looks like this is the time to blow it up and you know, rebuild. Because even Arizona, you know, Fitz is coming back for one more year. And David Johnson, we forget, played two quarters last year. So you add that guy back in the mix, and Arizona might not be as bad.
At the head coaching position, Pete Carroll, how long do you think he's going to want to stay coaching in the NFL? Do you think he's going to be here for another 10 years, or do you think he's looking for a time to call it quits?
No, I say, you know, I think he's probably going to look at what kind of a rebuild and what's going to happen up at the front office, Schneider, kind of see who he's working for. And I think that's going to make that determination at that time. He may last a couple more years. If he thinks that he could turn that team around whatever they draft within a 1 or 2 years, I think he can stay another couple. But if not, I think he's out of there. He's got a Super Bowl.
He does have a Super Bowl, Matt. You know that he doesn't like to be in situations where he's not going to succeed. What is the future of Pete Carroll?
Yeah, I think he looks at this and you know, really says, do I have another 5-10 years in me to go through this, or do I look elsewhere? Maybe, you know, if another opportunity pops up, he goes there for 2 or 3 years just to try to win one more, or rides off in the sunset, or he ends up back in college somewhere. I mean, I think there's options, but yeah, I don't see him lasting in Seattle beyond the next year, maybe two. And I think that's the end of Pete Carroll up there.
Tons of questions for the Seattle Sea Chickens. We'll see whether or not they stick around and stay competitive in the West. When we come back, we're going to talk with Rob and Ken about Heroes in the Rough, what they're doing this summer, and talk a little golf right here on the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. And welcome back to the Joe Fan Show. Clayton Hamilton here in Las Vegas. Matt Reed in Oakland, California. Rob Jackson, president of Heroes in the Rough, along with Ken Magnan, hero of Heroes in the Rough. And Heroes in the Rough is a disabled veteran athletic program that takes all sorts of sports, but you concentrate mainly on golf.
That is correct. You're right. You're getting used to that now.
That's right. It's like I've talked to you before.
Well, you know, you've come out and played with us and everything else in the book, and it is a lot of fun. You know, with the disabled veterans, you know, we're a 50% disability program and above, because, you know, we take the ones that really get left out to try to get them back out in more of the society. And golf has always been one of those kind of athletic sports where it's more of a relaxed sport than, you know, worrying about a bunch of people around you.
And it's also one of those that there's a bigger social aspect to it than, you know, if you guys went out and played tennis or you know, something like that. Half of the fun is riding around in the cart and telling stories and lying to each other, like, about how good you are. That's like half of the fun when it comes to playing golf.
No, I agree with you 100%. You know, we got Ken in the studio here. You know, he just played video games all day and did gardening and stuff and, you know, and things like that. But what do you think about the program?
Oh, no, it was probably one of the best things I got to experience, just getting out, meeting the guys, just getting out of the house. Because I was always just stuck in the house because I just moved here a couple years ago. I really don't know anyone. And they were gracious enough to take me in, and, you know, they're my family now.
And, Matt, we got to get you out here. When are you coming out to play? They're going to play TPC Summerlin coming up on the 26th.
You tell me every year that how great it is. And, yes, yeah, so this year, 2018, I will make it out for an event.
Nice.
No, that's great. Just so you know, on TPC Summerlin, the 26th, we are sold out with a full field.
Well, that's great.
Look at that. That's awesome.
Yes, it's going to be huge. A lot of sponsors out there. And we're just getting a lot of support from every direction this year. 2018 for us is starting out huge. Our next tournament is going to be on June 2nd. Stallion Mountain, and that'll be a lower rate, starting at $75 if you get a foursome, and I'm sure that'll be a sold out field. So Matt, you got to let me know so we can get you in.
Absolutely, I will do that.
And now, for anybody that wants more information on you guys, wants to see how they can either become a part of the Hero family, or if you're not a veteran, you just want to help out and have you know, skills or donations or anything that can be of use, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, it's easy. They can go to the website at heroesintherough.org, and it's H-E-R-O-E-S, okay? So, because people get that confused and leaving the E out. But if you go to the website, it has all the information, has our phone number to be able to get a hold of people, know what the right steps are for you to be able to maybe get an application, check out the program, sign up for our tournaments, and learn a little bit more what we do.
Yeah, so go out, check it out. I've been to a number of the events, not just the golf events, but concert events, bowling, all sorts of different stuff, hanging out with the guys. It's always a good time. So go to heroesintherough.org and get more information on how you can be a part and how you can help. And I got to talk a little golf with you guys since I have you here. Mm-hmm. Tiger Woods, the triumphant return. It did not go well. He missed the cut this week. He said he's going to play next week because he's really trying to gear up for the Masters. Is this just all in his head? Is there any gearing up to be done for the Masters, or is he just going to go there, shoot one into the azalea trees, and call it a two-day weekend?
As long as he just keeps his head on straight, because he's finally healthy, and it's good to see him. But he was missing a lot of short putts, makeable putts for him. But as long as he stays healthy, gets his head straight, and doesn't let anything bother him, he'll be back.
No, I agree. It's going to be a long road for him, and I think he knows it. And he's just got to go out there and play well and don't worry about these little young pups, because he was one of those, mm-hmm. you know, doing very, very well and winning championships. I don't think he's eligible to do that anymore. It's just not going to happen. If he's lucky to get a win here and there, he should just enjoy it and get it. But if he wants to make it back in that top 10, he needs really to focus a lot more. And it is more mental than physical, because physically we know he can hit the ball.
Right, but he's had all those physical problems, Matt, and, you know, Ken says, you know, he's got to get his head straight, but do you think that that's the biggest problem with Tiger Woods, is his head? Like, does he realize that he's not the guy that he was 10 years ago?
Yeah, I think, you know, the hard part is morphing your game around the fact that, you know, he's not going to be as long off the tee, and he's going to have to grind a little more, and it's going to take a while to get used to that. I mean, look, he really hasn't been healthy enough to finish – you know, around. So the fact that he made it through two rounds was fantastic. I mean, he plans to play next week, and if he makes it through those rounds, and then I think he starts to feel more comfortable, knows what he's got in the tank, you know, and starts to adapt his game around that. But you know, it's definitely a long road ahead, but the fact that he, you know, even though he didn't make the cut, he still played two rounds. I'd love to see him play four rounds and see how it comes out of it.
Hey, Matt, I want to ask an opinion, you know, to you, but I've always had this in the back of my head for about a year or two. Is it really a physical thing? Do you feel that the mental side is overpowering the physical, saying I can't do it and giving up, but not really be as hurt as we think he is?
Yeah, I mean, there could be that hurdle that, you know, and it does slow people down, the whole mental aspect. But I really do think that his back, and think of all sports, your back needs to be good for a lot of sports. But as much twisting and different movements you make on a golf course with your back, if your back's not right, it's just I think it's debilitating. And maybe that got in his head, and yeah, it's just working both of them together. Where once he can get over that hurdle, and see himself play, then maybe, you know, that improves the mental too.
Well, no, I agree with you, because, you know, I go through a lot of arthritis myself when I play, and you know, I got to take, you know, ibuprofen to get through. But there is certain ways I do swing that are different, because I feel like I'm going to re-injure mm-hmm. back in that one spot again. And I think that happens in all sports. You do things differently.
And what I think is going to be odd, and we'll get your thoughts on this, Ken, is that he has planned his career just around the majors, and he's done so well that he hasn't had to play a ton of golf. And if he wants to get his ranking back, he's going to have to take the Vijay Singh route. Like, Vijay Singh wasn't necessarily a great golfer. He just played every week, which is why his ranking got all the way back up. And for Tiger to now put it in his mind that he's going to have to play 30 tournaments a year or 35 in order to get back his ranking and get back his swagger? Is he mentally prepared to work 3 or 4 weeks in a month instead of 2 or 1?
At this age, it's probably pretty tough to, you know, to change your whole routine. But if he could get through there and if he get through that and accept it, I mean, he could definitely move up.
Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be one of the keys. Like, can he accept the new normal and figure out a way to work through it? But it should be fun to watch him do that. I don't have a lot of hope for him when it comes to the Masters this year, but maybe if he can at least put together a solid spring and summer, maybe we'll get one more weekend of magic at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, one thing I want to add to that, I just think he just needs to keep himself healthy enough to get ready for the senior PGA.
Yes. Exactly. Senior PGA. Ouch. Rob Jackson throwing out Tiger Woods. Unbelievable. When we come back, Stephon Phil, y'all in the house, going to talk a little NBA. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. The Joe Fan Show is brought to you by the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center, with locations in both Henderson and on the West Side. Dr. John Patrick and his dedicated staff are committed to helping you lead a pain-free life. Visit them at LVPRC.com and take the first step toward feeling great. This is the Joe Fan Show. Clayton Hamilton in Las Vegas. Matt Reed in Oakland, California, joined in studio by my friends from Heroes in the Rough, Rob Jackson, Ken Magden, and the man himself has joined us to talk a little NBA action. Stephon Phil, y'all, fresh out the club. In the house today.
All-star weekend after parties, man.
I know, right? lots going on. This is the NBA All-Star Weekend, the ceremonial halfway point of the season. A little bit further along in the season than actually halfway, but
I wish it would fall further halfway. Mm-hmm. Not only because I want more games after All-Star Weekend. Like, I don't want 25 games.
Right. Yeah, it's a really late. Yeah, I guess crazy, they don't want to do it during the NFL playoffs. They're trying to combat that. They want to have the spotlight all to themselves. I do have to share it a little bit with the Winter Olympics this year, but it is the halfway point, and we have to look at the teams that are probably going to be in the playoffs. And the biggest question to you, Stephon, is there anybody out there that can beat Golden State? Cleveland, Boston, Houston, San Antonio. Anybody?
I actually like the Rockets, man. They're my favorites this year. The Rockets are stacked, and they've really added some reassurance in getting Joe Johnson and Brandon Wright. They're both guys that can definitely contribute, and Joe Johnson is better on a playoff team. And I think that's something that he's figured out earlier on, you know, jumping on the Jazz. He actually led the Jazz last year. And, you know, coming from Brooklyn Nets, they were still in the playoffs at some point while he was there. He's just going to be a reserve on the Rockets. And that's just gonna give them the depth they need in the playoffs.
We also have Chris Paul, Matt. And everyone said when Chris Paul went to the Clippers, doesn't matter. Chris Paul ain't never won nothing. And guess what? He still hasn't.
And neither is James Harden, right? We saw what he pulled at the end of that San Antonio series. Basically, it looked like he gave up. So, yeah, it's cute that people think someone could beat Golden State this year, because it's not going to happen. Period. Come on. This Warrior team healthy? The only way this Warrior team can't win it all this year is if someone gets hurt. If one of the four gets hurt,
look, man,
then there's a chance that someone can knock them off. But completely healthy, not going to happen.
All right, in the playoffs, it becomes matchups. You know, it tends to slow down. But I mean, you got two teams with the Rockets and the Warriors. I honestly think with the Warriors going to the finals, what, 3-4 straight times, and then having to go through the Rockets, who just gained home court advantage, by the way. I think that's going to play a big part in the playoffs as well. The Warriors have never gone in outside of the one seed, and I think it's just going to be tough for them to gather all that the fatigue is going to hit hard, and the Rockets are ready. And I mean, you brought up Chris Paul, and you brought up James Harden. I think they're both hungry. Chris Paul is no longer on the Clippers. James Harden is arguably having the best year of his career, even outside of last year. I think he's a runaway MVP this year, and their defense on the wings is different from years past. I don't think. And then they don't have to deal with Dwight Howard. They have Clint Capella, who's a soldier. I just think everything's going right for them, and they have some of the top talent in the league right now.
Yeah, but Rob, man, Clint Capella, he's not Hakeem Olajuwon or Charles Barkley or Ralph Sampson. They got to bring one of those guys back. I mean, who's going to play against Draymond Green?
Well, that's a good question, because I have to stand by Golden State. I think Houston's a great team. I think overall, maybe with the, you know, with Johnson and things like that team. Here's how I see it. When they do play, more likely they will, is it going to be the 5 or the 7 games?
7.
You say 7? Yeah.
Seven game series.
Yeah, NBA,
NBA loves 7 game series, and that one would be the Western Conference Finals.
Be 7? I think Golden State would do it. If it was something with 5, I think Houston's got a chance, but I think Golden State will get the edge.
I call 5.
With Houston?
I call 5.
With Houston?
I call 5. But the way the NBA works, they like money.
That's true.
So they like 7, but I call 5.
5 games, huh?
I say 5 or 6. I'm not going higher than 6.
Wow. So if Golden State does win, do they have to take 7 to do it?
They're not going to.
Man,
if they were the ones winning,
they lost one playoff game last year. One,
dude, you're talking about last year. Come on, it's a whole new year. It's a whole new.
What's the difference in this team?
In the Rockets?
No, with the Warriors.
That's part of the point. That's part of the point is that it's a carryover. You gotta understand, with carryover teams, they're looking. With carryover teams that are gone 3 to 4 years straight to the finals, they're going uphill in that final year. It's not going to be easy.
These days, teams rest guys too often, where it doesn't have the same effect as it did, you know, 10 years ago. Plus with so many stars, it's not one guy carrying the load every year like LeBron, where LeBron looks like, you know, he finally gets worn down. There's just too many guys on the Warriors right now for them to have that letdown.
You have name two or three players that are going to have a massive effect on the game outside of that starting 5.
Exactly.
But you're not gonna win another championship with just going back to back to back to back with the same starting 5, and going against this Rockets team.
So you're saying that they don't have a Steve Kerr, the sixth man like he was with the Bulls. So they don't have that.
No, I mean they'll have Andre Iguodala come off the bench, and he might start some in the playoffs. But but everybody knows their MO. Everybody knows what they can do and what they're gonna do. The Rockets are just on the uptick, man, and they've got the talent to go with it. And when I say it's about matchups, I mean, you bring up Draymond Green. He's going to have to step out on Ryan Anderson. I mean, because he's going to be automatic from 3, and we all know he can still rebound. It's just and if that's not working, they've got rotation players. Whereas the Warriors, they've got who? Besides Andre Iguodala coming off the bench. Omri Caspi?
David West has played solid.
David,
they still have McCaw.
David West isn't.
Omri Caspi's given decent minutes. But
McCaw's
that's
injured.
The thing. They get enough out of their bench for what they need out of their bench. You have Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant,
season.
Draymond Green. I mean,
through the
season. When it comes playoff time, it's all about your starters. Yeah,
it's
your
not.
Bench has
it's
to
not.
Produce a little bit, but your starters have to perform.
It's not. It's
and
not all about your
last
starters.
Year, James Harden didn't perform down the stretch.
If it's all about your starters, the Lakers would not have won 3 in a row.
When it comes,
did they win? Did oh, when, that's oh, when they won the championship.
The Lakers will. You're crazy,
dude. I'm crazy, dude. You know who's coming off the bench for them? Come on, and Kobe wouldn't have won 2 in a row.
There's no way he would have won those two championships with Pau Gasol if they didn't have a bench. Lamar Odom was coming off the bench.
When it does come to this year's bench, though, Andre Iguodala sort of taken a step back in what he's done during the regular season. They have the injury to Patrick McCall.
They're all older.
Sean Livingston is still good, but he does a lot of miles on his legs. But we've seen his ability to take over in games. But the other question then becomes, Matt, can Mark D'Antoni or Mike D'Antoni, can he put together a game plan to beat Steve Kerr? Because Steve Kerr, as we all know, is the Milli Vanilli of coaches. LeVar Ball said it himself. So it's not as if, you know, Steve Kerr can come up with a second or a third plan, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's only got one way to go. You know, it got so bad that Steve Kerr actually just stopped coaching the team the other night. He let the players coach the team.
That's common. I think that's more common than people think.
That was awesome.
I think that's great. I think that's a great way to get your guys engaged. I don't see anything wrong with it. I think the media was just trying to make a big deal out of it, whether they know or just didn't know.
They beat them by 46.
Yeah, I mean, but still, like, they say that, oh, that the Suns were irrelevant and Steve Kerr was just trying to show up the Suns or whatever. Yeah, it happens.
That's exactly what he was doing.
No, it's not. It happens in the league.
There's still a little bad blood there from when he was their GM. I don't think things ended very well there. And Phoenix is bad.
You really think he's thinking about that?
About it, but
people are really good at holding grudges.
Yeah.
That's one of the things we do best as people.
He's got two championships. Why is he thinking about the Phoenix Suns? Come on.
Oh, he's bored during the regular season. But here's the million-dollar question, though, Stefan, because we all said last year during the playoffs that if anybody was going to beat Golden State, it was going to be Houston, and we wanted to see Houston have a chance to maybe outscore them, and Houston couldn't get by San Antonio. So is there a team in the West that could derail Houston before they even get a shot at the Warriors?
I don't see that happening this year. Last year, it was all James Harden. It was James Harden, James Harden, James Harden. This year is not that.
I'll tell you what. Last year, they had their hands full with OKC, and Westbrook didn't have any help. This year, and I'll tell you what, more so than Houston, Oklahoma City is the one team that could sneakily give Golden State a lot to handle, because when Paul George is playing well and Melo's playing well around Westbrook, and I think Steven Adams taking a big step forward, I would not be surprised one bit if OKC knocked off Houston before it even got to Golden State.
In the playoffs, it's about defense, half court, and pace. The Thunder, they look good. Paul George is an all-star. But they don't have their best defender, and we've seen what the dip in their defensive rating since Robertson has gone down. That's going to be a huge problem, especially going against the Rockets, who have a ton of offensive power.
And they don't play any defense either.
Yes, they do. What are you talking about? They've got
the Rockets play defense?
Yes, they play defense. Play defense. This is not like past years.
Well, that doesn't make sense to me, because okay, if you're going to play Golden State, Houston's going to play Golden State. What is now? You give us your opinion. What does Houston have to do on the court to slow Golden State down?
Oh, they're
going
to have to switch
down.
Everything. They're going to have to control the pace. They're going to have to control the boards, and they're going to have to switch everything on defense. And so they've got the personnel to do that.
So they have to be not who they are during the regular season. Like, can you make that switch?
But during the regular season, they're not far off of that. That's what I'm saying. This year is a totally different year for the Rockets. It's not like previous years. There's no way they would be able to. There's no way. I don't see them having the best record in the Western Conference and being that team last year. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Like, they've had to be a better team to be where they are now. I mean, with Chris Paul has taken a lot of stress off of, a lot of responsibility off of James Harden, offensively and defensively. I mean, if he stays healthy, it's going to be a big problem for anybody. And then you've got guys on the wing.
Thing is, we're wasting our time talking about this because Chris Paul will be hurt at some point.
Come
right?
on, man.
That's messed up. You watch him at Clipper playoff games? Yeah. How many playoff games did he end up?
Yeah, but that's with the Clippers. He was never completely comfortable with the Clippers.
But hey, his knees and his ankles are still the same.
He'll be all right.
They were in L.A.
But he's not doing as much. But, he doesn't have to do as much in Houston.
I'm just going to say one more thing. The bottom line is, if Golden State stays healthy up front, they ain't going to lose.
Okay.
You know what, Stephon? I would like you to be right.
We'll see.
You know how much I want you to be right. I just and I agree with you. Houston has taken a step forward. I just don't know if one step forward is enough.
But the Warriors have taken a step back.
And it still might be a step away.
I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, you've got KD. Hey, to me, he's the best in the world right now. They've got us one of the best starting five, if not the best starting five in the league. But they're just I'm not seeing it. Mm-hmm. I'm playoff time. Yeah, they're gonna turn it up, but they don't see the Rockets until the Western Conference Finals, and that's just, I think guys are just gonna be coming at them, and it's gonna be tough.
Let's just hope that that's the matchup that we get. When we come back, it's gonna be a little Q&A time. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio, 920 The Game. It's Q&A time. Remember, if you want to send us a question, just email us submissions@JoeFanShow or tweet us @JoeFanShow. Clayton Hamilton, Matt Reed, Stephon Phil, y'all, my buddies Rob and Ken from Heroes in the Rough. And we will start with Dale here in Las Vegas, who says, what has been the best moment for you in the Winter Olympics so far? #GoForGold.
For me, I thought Shaun White winning that half pipe. I don't know if you saw that final run. It was pretty sick, and I'm not a snowboarding guy, but just watching that was pretty impressive.
I'm a bit of a snowboarder. I would say I'm a bit of a snowboarding X Games guy, but I'd say Chloe Kim winning that that half pipe gold, youngest ever. I think that was a really big deal, especially this time in American history right now.
Yeah, I think that was pretty cool too, but I have to agree with Matt. That's what I had, down where Shaun White was unbelievable to win his third.
Yeah, definitely it was Shaun White coming out his last run and just getting all that air. And doing those 1440s, it was nice.
Yeah, it was nice. What was really good is that he had to lay it down because he wasn't in first place. It wasn't like the victory lap. But yeah, Shaun White, Chloe Kim, both spectacular moments, and more to come this next week. Carter in Las Vegas asks, where will Rick Nash end up? Do you think he'd be a good fit on the Golden Knights' third line? #DeadlineDeals.
I don't think he'd be a bad fit on the third line. I think Columbus might be a spot. He goes back to his old team and kind of revives it right there. But, I mean, to get a guy with his talent on the third line wouldn't be a bad thing if the Golden Knights can make it happen.
I think he's going to head to the Penguins, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be a good run for him. I believe, where are they, still two games back out of the top? Yeah, I think that'll be a good push for them.
Well, since the Knights are gelling right now, do they need anybody? If everybody stays healthy, they don't. Because who are they going to get rid of or trade to get him? I think that wouldn't be good. I think what they have now, they got to run what they have all the way to the gold if they can do it.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think he would be good with the third line, but my Devils would definitely take him.
Yeah, this is three really good landing spots. I don't think the Golden Knights are in on him. He would help on the third line, but like Rob said, there's too many pieces they have to move to bring in a guy who's basically a rental, and you're not sure what he's going to do on the chemistry of the room. Although I like the idea of him playing with Alex Tuch and Cody Eakin in the middle. That would be an exciting third line, but the Knights are not going to pull the trigger. I think it's between Stephon and Matt, like most things are, whether he goes to Columbus or Pittsburgh. But I think that Pittsburgh probably has the most pieces they can move, the most willingness to do so, and he will probably end up on the Penguins. Why? Because that's the worst case scenario, because every time the Penguins are good, it makes me mad every time they are.
Yeah.
Arctic ice chickens. That's what they are, Penguins. I hate the Penguins. Can't stand them.
Oh, definitely.
But it's not as bad as Philly. I mean, Philly's like the worst.
The Sharks are mine.
But Philly is in my, they're in my power rankings for worst fans. Worst opposing fans right this year has been Philly number one, Edmonton number two, LA number three. All right, our next question is Hal in Las Vegas asks, was the Yu Darvish deal good for the Cubs? #PilesOfCash. Real quick, guys.
Oh.
Great for the Cubs. I wish the Dodgers could have found a way to keep him, but yeah, he'll be good.
First time today, I'm with Matt.
You know, with me, I disagree with all you guys, okay?
Ooh,
and I'm doing this quick because, number one, he had a good season in the first 3 or 4 years with Texas, but he's gone downhill. Kaboom. Okay, for him to get at that kind of a deal for six, it doesn't make sense. I think he needs to prove himself first to show that he's worth that money because he has not improving himself, you know, for a couple years yet.
Mm. I think it's a good deal.
I agree with Rob
that it
is not a good deal for the Cubs, but I also I love it because I don't want to see the Cubs have any kind of success. So like the deal because I think they're just not going to be good this year, and I'm excited to see the ball flying out of Wrigley.
If there's offense for Chicago, then Yu Darvish might look good.
He might. They're going to have to bail him out too many times. Yu Darvish of the playoffs is more indicative of who he is now. Mm. Special thanks to Rob and Kent from Heroes in the Rough. Also to Matt Reed and to Stefan Phil. Y'all, this has been the Joe Fan Show right here on NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Catch us each and every week at 7 o'clock in the morning. Follow us at JoeFanShow.com on Twitter at Joe Fan Show. Me personally at Clayton_JoeFan. We'll see you next time.